Hello and welcome to another exciting episode of the Queensland Freemason podcast, number 14 this week. We're doing something a bit different this week, and I'm here with Graham. Would you like to introduce yourself, Graham?
Thanks very much, Luke. It's Graham again, the Deputy Grand Secretary of the United Grand Lodge of Queensland.
And my name is Luke, and we have recorded now, I think, 13 different Masonic-related podcasts. Largely, they focused on things that we do in Grand Lodge, things why you would want to become a Freemason, what is Masonry all about. Today's probably one of the first times we're doing a little bit of Masonic content. Masonry has a history of great authors throughout the ages being members of our society, and academics and researchers, and a lot of those people have from time to time written a lot of short Masonic lectures, and today we're going to give you a few parts of those Masonic lectures. And even for non-Masons out there, if you're interested in some of the content, just type in short Masonic lectures into your favorite search engine and you'll find lots of them. They're generally public lectures that people tend to give. Whether the meaning is conveyed to non-Masons in the same way as Masons is, I guess, debatable, but today we're going to give you a few different tastes of what it is that we actually would sort of lecture on in our lodge. Mm. I think you got an interesting one there starting out, Graham. I didn't know what it was until you mentioned
That's
it.
Right, and we've always heard in our Masonic rituals and our ceremonies the word Cowan, C-O-W-A-N, and part of the duty of one of the Freemasons in the lodge is to keep off Cowans from entering the lodge, and I often wondered what it was.
I thought they were mispronouncing the word. I thought it was coward.
Cowards. I had it thought it had something to do with cowardice, but I did I did some research and came up with this lecturette by Bobby Lupas that talks about the origin of the word cow, and it's distinctively Scottish, mm-hmm. and was used originally to describe a man who was a builder of dry stone dikes or walls or fences. You know, when yep. you travel to Scotland and through many countries, you'll see fences that are made of stone, roughly yep. piled together. That's what a cowan did, and those sort of dikes were to be found all over Scotland, and they normally served as boundaries between areas of land, and so that's where it came from. Somebody who had not been properly apprenticed to a master or trained to work as a mason, although in our craft of stone masonry, but the term cowan these days is not normally used in association. It has become a purely Masonic expression.
I hope we're not insulting anybody by calling our Scottish fence builders our cowans.
No, we're not insulting you. They were certainly.
If you
not.
Are, you can write to us, the Scottish fence builders who still build drywall. And when we say drywall, we're not talking about American drywall, which is plaster that they are put up and formwork inside of a building. This is the kind of unorganized. There are fence lines that you'll see all throughout, particularly Britain, that have been assembled without mortar. They've just piled the rocks together in some sort of
organized. And a trade of its own. It is a trade. Of its own.
Absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely.
Bloody That's hard work.
Yeah.
So, what's this lecture all about then, Graham?
Or well, that, part was, of the lecture that, you've got? That was interesting, and I thought we might use that to lead into some of the other things that we do, Masonic ceremonies, in particular, perhaps our dress.
Yeah, sure.
And the fact that Freemasons wear formal dress to lodge, and why do we do that, and why do we feel that we should get dressed up? And I think an easy way to say that is that you wouldn't wear a t-shirt to go to someone's wedding, would you?
No. As I might like to sometimes. Well, it's not appropriate.
That's right. So, and that's what a Masonic ceremony is about. It's an event, really. It's something that we go to, and that's why quite often you will see, I guess it's like a uniform, or it's like if you see a monk or a Buddhist monk yep. or someone in their robes, and a Freemason you'll always see when they're going to lodge will have a dinner suit, white shirt, black bow tie, black shoes, apron case, and off to lodge we go. And that's, you know, the part of the style of that, I guess, or the event of Freemasonry is the importance that we place on being dressed for a formal occasion.
Yeah. And inside the lodge, the officers of the lodges are particularly appointed in sort of more appropriate clothing for their title, for their position as well. And one of the things we wear there is the collar, and we've got a lecture here today on the origins of the collar and what it means and why we wear it. This is quite specific to Masonry. I guess you have a woggle or a scarf in Boy Scouts, but I don't know of any other organisation that would sort of wear this in the same way that we do. I'm sure there are other orders that will wear something similar, but this is particularly written about us. And I don't know if you'd like to have a read through this, Graham, but this is a short Masonic lecture that's worthwhile listening to, particularly to educate our current Masons and non-Masons about what it is.
What is the origin of the collar? And, you know, we see every officer in the lodge wearing a collar, and what is the reason? reason why. We know, you know, people like the Orders of the Garter and things like that wear sashes and things, but wardens and the master of the lodges have been wearing a collar since about 1717, and it may have been first of all a white ribbon with a jewel hanging from it to dictate what rank that person is in the lodge, and they afterwards became then the masters, the wardens, and the officers. Collar. Sometimes the ribbon would have been quite narrow, something like a silken cord. And apart from any differences in colour, masters and wardens' ribbons were white, and those of grand officers blue, and those of grand stewards were red. The ribbons appear to have been just a means of hanging the respective jewels from that particular ribbon. But things evolve over time, and now we wear the blue, and we wear it in our, I guess, corporate Masonic colour, the sky blue collars that we wear, and all officers wear those with the actual jewel attached to the bottom of it. But it's interesting that the collar is actually cut in the shape of a triangle that goes over your head and then hangs down the front like that. Tailored is approximately to the shape that we use today, and we've seen those around since about 1815 when Masonic clothing in England and throughout the world was pretty much standardised and made uniform, so that's why we wear collars.
Yeah, absolutely. It's one of those things that we still wear to this day. I'll include a picture of a particular Masonic collar in this actual podcast or posting for it. And it's something that I guess that we've seen carry on throughout the history of what we do. Those particular jewels you're making reference to aren't sort of a diamond or a gem or anything like that. It's more metallic, a metal if anything else, but we refer to it as a jewel, and it just symbolises the particular post that you're doing within the lodge, and I believe there might be 7 or 8 different jewels.
Well, there's a lot of different the symbolic jewels are. For example, the steward of a lodge, the caterer in the lodge, his jewel is signified by the cornucopia, the horn of plenty, with
absolutely.
Food and the fruit in it, and our compass is inlaid in the background, where the two deacons are the dove, the universal emblem of celerity and peace, and it's not serenity and peace like I always used to
think. Really?
It's actually celerity and peace, which
that's
is
another word for me to look up.
Well, it's you know, it means I think it means like to be peaceful, and you know, and that's why the deacons are like the peacemakers in the lodge. I guess they move people around the lodge, but it's interesting. And then, of course, the wonderful part of Masonic dress that we use in the lodge, of course, is the apron.
Yes,
which is central to everything that Freemasons do, and is symbolic of. Back in the day when we were building big cathedrals and temples and things, we would have worn a big leather
protective apron.
Yeah, protective apron to protect our bodies, arteries, you know, up your arms and that sort of stuff. For gauntlets you would have worn, and now...
I was going to mention the gauntlets.
Yeah.
I'd only ever heard of the term gauntlet in an old video game, gauntlet, but I never actually realised what a gauntlet was until someone says, do you mind putting on those gauntlets?
Yeah, and, well, you always think of it as running the gauntlet, don't you?
That's right.
Having to do that, but the gauntlets are actually, you know, big leather that you would wear on your arms to stop your arteries being pierced or things like that.
Yeah, absolutely. So I guess,
and they're an adornment now, really. They are just an adornment.
Yeah, it's the only place I've in modern society stuck on a pair of gauntlets is in a lodge. But it's one of those things that we've got these very traditional things. So we've got the collar, we have the gauntlets, and we have the apron, and those are all basically part of our uniform and our tradition, and they go back a long time. This morning somebody actually came in the Grand Lodge and was asking me to identify whether this a picture of a person was a Mason or not. And it was a relative making an inquiry through the library. And I had a look at it, and both the librarian and myself came to the conclusion that this particular person in this very old photo was not a Mason. We couldn't see any of our own symbols, square or compasses, but they were wearing a collar and they were wearing an apron. So my feeling is they belong to another order. We couldn't yet identify that because the photo wasn't good enough. So there are certainly a few other orders wearing these sorts of things, but we'll have to do some further research. Just on another topic, this particular podcast has now been heard nearly 5,000 times, so I think we've got around nearly 400 subscribers now. So for those people listening to this podcast, tell your friends about it and tell people in your jurisdiction what we're doing here, because it's something we'd like to see other jurisdictions attempting as well. We're one of the only Grand Lodges that I can find actively producing a podcast, and if there are others and I'm insulting you by saying that, please get in contact with us. I'd like to post links to it. That's for sure. And until next time, stay on the level.